Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Now, you know, it's funny. I'm not very good with death because the subject today is the shock of losing someone, and when it happens, what do we do? I know this. I always like to incorporate my sense of humor into as many things as I can, without being inappropriate or insincere. But death, it's like the ultimate joke stopper.
Yeah, I understand.
But, I mean,
it's hard
to incorporate.
It's hard to incorporate humor into that one. I agree. So you're just kind of sitting there feeling like sometimes, what can I say? What can I do? And that's why they call it shock, because you basically are in shock. So our heart goes out to Kobe's family and his wife, Vanessa, and it's just so sad and tragic. And they lost one of their children. The 13-year-old daughter was in the helicopter as well. And our hearts go out to their family and everybody. I mean, I'm here in Los Angeles, so I see it is. Oh, wow. Everybody loved Kobe so much. I mean, huge legend, huge icon. There's the Pro Bowl was today. They had a special moment of silence, and then they couldn't even stay silent. They just started chanting his name, and then all the news. And then there is now is the Grammys. And I guess all the newscasters are already set up, and it's bringing a lot of awareness and attention to the subject. But what do you think, Johnny? I mean, it's just so crazy. It's like, how does a person deal with the shock and the loss of somebody that just loves so much? I mean, what do you do? What do you do?
Well, you know, it's sort of funny. We go to funerals. I think probably children is probably especially hard because they don't quite understand it. I was thinking in my mind, what was my first experience of death? You know, and it was my... It was my great grandfather.
How old were you?
What happened?
How old were you?
I was about, I think, 7. But he was about 90. But the weird thing about Cariño, was his name, is what we called him, was that right before he died, you know, I knew that people got older, but I didn't know what happened after they got older. You know, it was like a person becomes 50 or 60, or then all of a sudden they move on to their 70. And actually, I thought that death was what happened. And I always thought that you eventually became a mummy when you had too many Band-Aids, that you would get sick, and then, you know, you would thought, And I never did this, but I asked my parents. I said, you know, if a pill helps you get feel better, then wouldn't an entire bottle of pills help you live forever? You know, I mean, I didn't understand that line of reason. I never took all the pills, but I mean, or. But I remember when Cariño died, because the whole thing about Cariño was we didn't really understand. I didn't understand what death was. I didn't understand that there was. Yeah. I didn't understand the concept of death. It wasn't something that I really remember because I didn't know.
Did they have you go to the funeral?
No, I didn't go to the funeral for Carino, but I did.
Because I think that's too young. I think a little older is good, but I think 5 would probably be a little young.
Now, not to get too personal, but what was Priscilla's first encounter with death?
Well, she was not even 2, and she lost her father.
Oh, that's
to a
right,
drunk driver.
Yeah.
So that, obviously, she doesn't know what's going on because she can't even talk yet. But it just happened for her slowly to realize, probably when she was 5, because that's when you start kindergarten, I noticed it, that she started to realize she was different because she was realizing, I don't have a dad. And my dad lived in California at the time when she started school, and every single year he would be there to take her to school with me for the first day. And so he offered her a lot of, you know, the father figure support, which was wonderful. But she saw a lot of her friends getting picked up by the dads, and she'd go over to their homes and they had a dad. And so it was a slow process for her to realize she was different. And even though my attempts at marrying after that, engagements and relationships, you know, I came to the conclusion that I don't need that while I'm raising her. You know, you can find father figures like my dad, like an uncle, she has my brother, you know, that are very good influences, rather than struggling to try to replace the father. So I let go of that. I really did. And so it was a learning experience for me. I guess that's how I tried to deal with loss, by getting married right after. I actually did get married right after that, after he died. It's kind of like not just a shock mode, but a panic mode of, oh no, you know, what am I going to do as a mom? And that's not when we make really good decisions. So my advice would be to just let some time go by, let enough time for your own self to heal from the loss. I read that it takes about 6 to 8 days to feel like you can actually move on, depending on how close the person was to you. But then up to 4 years it takes to really be able to, you know, go on comfortably without the person. I just read that today when I knew that we were going to do the show, and it's true. So for me to lose the man of my dreams and then shortly after get married to somebody, I mean, that was just a disaster waiting to happen right there. You don't feel like you can fully express yourself of your loss because you think, oh, well, they're going to get jealous, they're going to feel inadequate, they're going to think you loved the other one more than them, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no way to start off a marriage or a relationship. So I guess that's what they call a rebound, but a rebound not just with a breakup, but a rebound with a death. Now that is pretty heavy. So that's one thing I've learned about dealing with loss. So that's a big one. And just, I want to know, like, how do you deal with, like, the shock? I mean, okay, I know I'm faced with knowing a person who's very special with me has a very terminal disease right now. And that was a shock hearing it, but then I still had them.
Mm-hmm.
I still have them around me for some time. But when it happens with a crash like this, a car crash like that was what happened to Priscilla's dad, by a drunk driver killed him, or this helicopter crash with Kobe Bryant, this shock is very hard to deal with. And I'd like to know, hopefully we'll get some callers today, maybe they can shed light on what they've done, if they've experienced something like this, because it's hard. I mean, it's very hard, isn't it?
It is hard, but you know, I have, for example, my grandmother, when she died, you know, she was 107, you know, and it's like an even
107?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Was this your mom's or your dad's mom?
My dad's dad. My dad's mom.
Dad's mom. Okay. So,
yep.
Wow, that's amazing life. My stepdad's dad lived to 106, and I never heard of anybody beating that. And I just heard, well, I have people that I don't know, but nobody that I am connected with has ever told me this. I mean, this is an amazing life, 107. And so at the end of her life, how old were you?
Well, I was about 47, 46, but this is the running thing. There's a lot of longevity in her family. You know that my great-grandfather, he lived to be 90. He was the first one that I ever heard that I remember having. Then there was one where she also told me that her uncle was 107, and they took away his driver's license, and he went and got a horse.
That's cute. I love older people. I love the older people, and this is a show idea I've had for a long time, but we haven't done it yet. Why do some older people get nicer with age, and some become like curmudgeons and ornery and, you know, mean-spirited? I wanted to know. I like to, you know, analyze that kind of thing because it's quite interesting. So how was your grandma? How was your great-grandma when she was 107? What were her spirits like?
Well, you mean my grandmother when she was 107.
Great-grandmother. Okay, your grandmother.
My grandmother when she was 107. I would say she's probably the happiest person you ever saw. I mean, you know, she would laugh every 5.5 minutes. And,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, she was just amazing sense of humor. I mean, to her, it was just like, you know?
Wow. And she was still sharp and everything when she passed away?
I don't know if she would say she's still sharp. I will say that one thing she did was when she turned 100, my sister used to take her shopping. And then, you know, she would say, how old is she? She's 100. And then, you know, she would chime in, only 100.
Oh, that's so cute. I like to hear those stories. Well, I have a story about something that was really hard and tragic that I experienced at a very young age, if you would like to hear that.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was 7 and my brother was 8, and we were riding our bikes in the afternoon, like usual, and we come rolling in to the house, and we hear this wailing and screaming, like just we never had heard before, and it was coming from our mother. We run in there, and my mom was just on the ground and just screaming, Grandpa's dead, Grandpa's dead, which was her father. And oh my gosh, we loved him so much. He was the type of man that he was like on the side, a bartender at the Elks Club, and like everybody's best friend, and everybody loved Gene. And my dad came into the family to marry my mom, and he said it was like the dad type that he always wanted, and they became really super close. And at that time, okay, what happened was he was going through an intersection, and I don't know if it was a red light or a stop sign, but one of the two, and this lady ran it and killed him. And they had two cars. They had a little Beetle Bug and they had a big Cadillac. And he just so happened to be driving the little Beetle Bug that day. If he would have been driving the big Cadillac, they said he would have lived. But he was driving that little Beetle Bug and he was killed instantly. And he was young. My mom was only 27 years old. I was 7 and my brother was 8. And my dad came, and they were going through a divorce, like I said, but he came to take her to the funeral, and he was there for her throughout that. But, oh, what she did was she started smoking cigarettes. I remember the babysitter was still there. She had come home from work, and the babysitter was trying to console her. And she goes, "What can I do for you, Judy? What can I do for you?" And she goes, "Go buy me a pack of cigarettes." So,
oh, by the way,
yeah, she did.
I think we have a caller. Do you want to put a caller on?
Yes, I do.
Area code 47.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, you just called in to listen to the show.
Oh, do you have any comments on losing someone?
Well, could we ask her name first, please? What is
my
your name?
My name is Keisha. Keisha?
Hi, Keisha.
Hey.
Hi,
y'all.
Hi. Good. So what are your thoughts about what's going on today?
Oh, my God. Well, somebody on another show was saying that Kobe Bryant and all his kids died. That's crazy. So, and then on the 23rd, some high-ranked official got assassinated in the UK, I think. And I don't know, it's a lot of crazy, I don't know. You know what? I don't have my phone really connected, so I don't know what's really going on, but from what I'm hearing from hearsay, it sounds like a hot mess. So it seems like everybody is just, you know, leaving the planet. So,
I know. It seems like that sometimes.
Yeah. So, and as far as me losing people, I mean, nothing really, I don't know. Usually people don't really tell me when people have passed on. Usually what happens is that I start feeling somebody around me. Usually I start seeing like shadows or something, or maybe I get a dream. And then maybe I catch up with the family member later down the line. They'd be like, "Oh yeah, this person died, blah blah blah."
Yeah.
So, and that's how I usually know somebody passed away. It's like either I'm seeing something, like something is obviously there, and then they're staring at me, or you know, I have a dream. So, and that's how I usually find out about it. But
They're probably coming to you in their spirit, because we are
exactly.
Not our bodies. Yes, and their soul is still here. And I think that people can get solace from knowing that they're still around you. But I've also read that if you are in the grieving, really heavy grieving process, that they cannot, you're blocking them from coming. So that's a thing that we should not, don't grieve. I mean, we need to let ourselves do the natural grieving process, but if it goes on for years and years, and they wonder, well, why haven't I felt them? Why didn't they come and talk to me in a dream? Well, that's why, because they can't get through with
anymore.
The grief. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now,
but Keisha, let me just explain. Wait, Johnny,
okay.
Because people are listening, and we just, let me, for the record,
okay.
All of his family did not die. Kobe Bryant died, and his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, was on the plane and died as well, but we have not heard of any other family members dying.
Mm-hmm.
There were 9
okay.
people, so it was like he was taking her to her practice, and he was like, or a game, and he was coaching, and so there was another couple of little children on there, her friends mm-hmm. on the team, and another coach. So we'll find out.
Oh, it was
shortly,
the whole team.
But
oh, that's still
not
that's
the
tragic
whole team,
though.
But
it was enough
tragic.
Kids on there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, well,
so
that's tragic.
Where
that
are
is.
You from? Where are you from?
Right now, I'm in Arizona.
Okay. Yes, but everybody here in LA is just setting up vigils.
Bummer.
They're all downtown.
Bummer.
They've been, yeah, they are packed up down there. They loved Kobe Bryant. I mean, he was a legend and an icon.
Yeah, I know. I remember. But I wasn't really in it. I wasn't really in that those circles. But, a couple of my friends or associates, whatever you want to call them, they used to hang out with the Nets and whatever they call them, in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Peoples, yeah, and that's who they hung out with. That's what their little circle was, and yeah, so it's like they always come back with some story. Yeah, or acting
really
like they know them or something.
Legend.
I don't know him, so I don't. But I feel bad for him and his daughter and the family at all. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling and sharing with us. We really appreciate that. And I remember you called in before, haven't you?
I've called a couple of times. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well,
well
we are
you,
so happy to have you. Yeah, we're happy to have you part of our
thank
community.
You,
thanks. Stay on the line.
Okay, you guys stay blessed.
Listen to the show.
Right.
Okay. Bye, Keisha. Wow. So what were you going to say, Johnny?
Well, it just seems like, you know, it's hard. I think we all deal with it in various ways. I mean, because when someone dies, it's kind of like it's everything ends. It's, you know, they always say it's the one thing that we're not certain about, you know. I mean, one thing you can be certain of. You know, they say about death and taxes, you know. And
yeah.
It's just very, very sad.
But death is a big part of living. That's what I've always said. We have to get through it. Some people cannot. They cannot. And also, they die from grief. It's proven. It's a proven fact to that. A lot of times when people are older, they lose their spouse that they've been with their partner in life for years. And their grief is so devastating. Their heart rate actually goes
Carrie
up.
Fisher and Denise Reynolds. Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. Huh?
Yes, yes. It does happen. It really does. But that's very rare. That's rare circumstance. But for the rest of us who are trying to deal with losing a loved one or like this today with a legend passing away, all you can do is just, write your condolences, express yourself, do your mourning process, show up if that helps you to the vigil, and show your respects, and then just remember them, and just remember all the wonderful things they brought you. I mean, it's so very tragic. And also thinking about the daughter, because here Vanessa is the wife and she's lost her husband. He was only 41 and her precious daughter. And then there's two little babies. They're not even toddlers yet and they won't ever know him. And that's what I went through. I went through when my daughter's dad was killed. But just knowing forever, she won't know him. She won't know her father, how funny he was and gregarious and how much just watching how much everybody loved him. She never will know that. And it's just this emptiness that is hard to feel. It's like you can't. It's a void.
I know. I mean, do you ever think that, what has been your hardest death that you've been through?
I would say that it is my grandpa because I was explaining how my mom was reacting, but we were reacting that way too, my brother and I. We just started wailing and crying and scream crying and on the floor and holding each other and just like devastating. I think that we should have gone to the funeral though because it's like we were 7 and 8 and I believe that we were mature enough to handle it actually. I think 5, not really, but around 7, 8, 9, I think you can handle it. But the children back then weren't given the opportunity to really express their grief. And I felt like I really had to hold a lot of it in. So parents out there, rethink that because your children, like you need to go to the funeral to show your respects. The kids are people too. And they should be able to be given that opportunity.
Let me tell you something that happened that was a really, really weird thing I have to go through. My sister got married. And we had, I think it was about a day before the wedding, my brother-in-law had his haircut. He was getting his haircut. and by his dad. And then he collapsed. His father collapsed, fell down, had a heart attack. And,
wow.
You know, so we're trying to decide. We go on with the wedding. Do we not go on with the wedding? And it turned out that they just decided to go on with the wedding. So we go on with the wedding. And I'm sure you can guess why they had to cancel the honeymoon.
Okay, wait, hold on. Somebody you know was getting their hair cut.
My sister's husband, my brother-in-law.
Okay.
His father died two days after the wedding.
After? Well, why was he getting his hair cut after the wedding? I was thinking he was getting his hair cut for the wedding.
What happened? This is what happened. He was getting his hair cut for the wedding, and then the father had a heart attack. And then 2 days after the wedding, he had another heart attack.
And then he died. Okay, so they decided to go on with the wedding because they wanted him to see them get married?
Well, he couldn't make it to the wedding. But the thing is that when he had the heart attack and he died, it was just really sad because forever that wedding is associated with the funeral, you know?
Yeah.
So we went to the funeral, and he was very, I only met the man once, you know, and.
That is very sad, and that sounds like they were relatively young when they lost him, too, but I can see why they didn't cancel the wedding, because he would have said, oh, no, don't just do that on my account. I want to know that you are married and see the photos and all that. And that probably brought him a lot of joy before he died 2 days later.
He was a real gym workout freak, too.
Hmm.
He used to
Wow.
Yeah, and he used to sit in the – He used to sit in like a swimming pool with the grandkids, you know. I mean, just a real
great guy.
Yeah, a real great person.
Oh,
and,
well, yeah, that is sad.
Well,
very sad.
And he looked just like Todd. He just looked like Todd, you know. So,
you know what? And the other thing in our show description that you were talking about was guilt. And this is a good learning lesson right now and something to really think about. Okay, if you really care about somebody, I had a business associate who passed away, the president of Playboy Home Video, Tony Lynn, a year ago, could have been a little longer than a year ago, but I had not even spoken to him for years, and we were so close when I was really working so much, and he had booked me on so many foreign trips to France and different various places, and he was the greatest guy, super funny, super highly intelligent, and just turned around the company, and I was one of the ones, and they even mentioned me at the funeral. It was a huge, at Paramount Mount Studios, huge gathering for this memorial service. And I had regrets because he meant a lot to me. And then all of a sudden, I mean, we take it for granted. We take them for granted sometimes, these people in our lives. But we need to make a point of staying in touch. You know, I know it's hard to stay in touch with every single person you know all the time, but even once a year or a couple times a year, stay in touch with that special person, because I had a lot of regrets that I hadn't talked to him for several years, and I was really feeling down about that for a long time afterwards, and I vowed to change that habit of not being in touch with people that meant a lot to me in my life. So let's just make a point of doing that. But that's what this show helps me do a lot as well, because I am always networking with people for the show. So that's helped me a lot with staying in touch with people. But because you never know when somebody's going to be taken. I mean, he got the esophagus cancer and they gave him like 6 months to live. And then sometimes if you're not in touch, you don't even know they're sick. And you just find out about the funeral and then it's too late. So I really urge people to stay in touch with people that they care about, who are important to them, people that have touched their lives in some sort of way, because you never know when they're going to be taken from the earth and you might never see them again.
No, I mean, yeah, or people that you kind of wish you'd be nicer to, people wish that you were,
I don't feel that way, Johnny. I feel like I'm pretty nice to everybody. I don't think all they're dead now.
I think
now,
I'm nice to everybody
too.
But it's just that I think what it is you kind of go, why didn't I get to do that? You know, or boy, it's a shame we didn't get to do it. I think another good example of it is do you remember the Space Shuttle Challenger?
Yes. Is that when the school teacher went up and perished?
Yeah.
And I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing exactly. And I saw it live because I was at school in most all of the schools. And I was in junior high or high school. I can't remember. But I was in the library and all of the students were gathered around watching the monitor. And then can you imagine all of a sudden it blows up and we're just kids. And we're watching this live, and that was a devastating moment right there. That was really crazy. Where were you during that?
Well, see, the thing is, I was homeschooled that year, and they talked about how they were going to have a teacher go up in space and do teach a lesson from space or something, you know? And,
yes.
But, you know, it was like,
so
we decided to do a
moment. Were you watching it live or not?
I forgot, to be honest with you, but I know I did see it. And I do remember it being a very sad thing. I mean, you know, it's like, and they said the last words they said were, uh-oh.
Oh, no. That is crazy. What about, we were talking about the car crashes, too. I mean, I've seen online where you see their last seconds of a car crash because somebody was filming online just driving along. I've seen that, too.
I mean, and the sad part about this is that, you know, they had I remember for the plane crash, space shuttle thing, they interviewed the daughter, and the daughter was petrified about her mom going up.
Oh, no. And people do a lot of risky things, too, like Evel Knievel. Can you imagine people doing that, and your family members are just letting you go up and doing things like that, knowing the risks. The older I get, the less I want to risk things. But I do know that flying in an airplane is a lot, the statistics of something happening is so much less than just getting in our car and driving. But we get in our car and drive all the time with not even worrying. But that is actually the most dangerous part of your whole trip. But my dad was an airplane pilot for probably like 50 years. And I just think, okay, when he retired, well, then he became a jet pilot for charters after that. But so when he retired from flying at all, I had a talk with him. I'm like, okay, I never allowed myself to worry about you because I'd be worried 100% of the time. And how is that going to be? What kind of life is that? So you just have to be able to let that go. But I just do want to say, you made it, Dad. You made it, and you're still alive. And he goes, I actually think that, too. I made it. I made it through all those years because there were some close calls. And he's writing a book right now, so that's going to be really interesting to read. But why do some people just make it? And then some people, like, there was a story where I heard that a whole wedding party was traveling in a limo or a car full, like a caravan full of the wedding party, and they got in a car accident on the way to the wedding, and she had the dress on and everything, and everybody was killed. Now, there's certain instances like that where you're thinking, why? And the question, like, why, God? And what do we do then? What do you suggest when it's something like that, like, it's so extraordinarily rare that that happens to your loved one? And how do we get over something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty, that's pretty intense. Wow.
It's pretty intense. I mean, I think when you lose a loved one, I have a hard time dealing with it because I tend to see a lot of socially strange stuff all the time, or I miss social cues, you know, or I say something.
No,
silly.
You don't. Stop, Johnny. Just because one person said that you miss social cues, you don't have to believe that about yourself, because I talk to you every day and you do not miss social cues. You are.
Well, I say silly stuff. The silly stuff, that's not the same thing, but I've said pretty. So what happened was that I mean it is hard when you want to say the right thing, because the problem is no matter what you say, the people are going to come back. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right. So I think that you just have to lean on your faith and find solace in meditation and prayer, and open yourself up to still feeling their soul around you, and let that in to offer yourself comfort and just be around other loved ones going through the same thing, and let it out. Cry hard, shout, let it out, let yourself grieve. Don't hold anything in, because otherwise you're going to go crazy. You have to be able to allow yourself, as long as it takes, the grieving period to take place. But wow. And just knowing, if say that is your husband or your brother or your dad, just seeing all the people that loved them, that must give you comfort. That must give you some sort of comfort to know that other people are feeling the same way and care. So just lean on your faith. It probably will make your faith stronger.
Yeah, I mean, the first time, now I've had some, when I went to my great uncle's funeral, it was actually a funny funeral because I got to learn how much my great uncle and my great aunt really loved each other. Like, one of the things that was so funny is that he had Alzheimer's, so he needed taken care of, and he went into the hospital. And what she did was, when she went into the hospital, she went in there, had her leg done, so that she could be with him.
Oh, wow. I like that.
And then, you know, what happened was that and then, you know, he would get out of the hospital, then he would go back, and then she had her other leg done. You know, you couldn't separate them.
Oh, I like
you know.
That. What a good idea.
They were a consummate romantic couple, you know. They were very romantic. And,
oh, I love that.
And
till the end, they were always, like, with each other, for each other, and side by side. That's so nice.
Yeah. I guess you have to be kind of like that, you know. I read about how the people who, you know, like couples that have been around for so long, you know, that you know, how do you deal with the death? Because like George Herbert Walker Bush, for example, you know, he had to get a dog because of his wife dying, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, too. A lot of people rescue a pet and then make a good thing come out of it, because a pet, a cat or a dog, can really offer a lot of comfort to people because they can have that little animal near them 24 hours a day. And that is good idea, good suggestion. I kept wondering, what can we do? What can we do to offer ourselves comfort in these times? A pet, that really helps. Get a pet or get it for somebody that has lost somebody. Bring it as a surprise. It will really offer comfort, light them up a little bit. That would be such a good idea to do. What about when people, okay, they know that they're going to die and they only have a certain amount of time left. When that person comes to terms with that and they're not afraid of passing because they know that they're going to be in a better place, they describe who they're going to see, they talk about how wonderful heaven is going to be, that helps a lot. So I hope that, you know, who knows? Do you ever wonder about your own self? Like, how are you going to die? Or are you going to have warning? Or is it going to, do you ever? I think about it. And you know,
no, all the time I worry about that. All the time I worry about that. But I try to think that there's going to be that I have some time left. And, I tend to worry. I tend to think about it as more or less doing things for people, you know, so that, you know, they know that they are loved and that I care about the people. And does that make sense? Make sure that something good.
Yes. I always think that I'm going to live for a very long time, at least to 100. I'm always thinking that. What are your thoughts about how long you're going to live?
I've always thought I was going to live to be about 80. But, if I live to be 100, but that's the way I view it, because I just don't see, you know.
Is that
going to
be good enough for you? And you think that's okay, just to 80?
Yeah, that'll be okay with me. That'll be okay with me, you know. I mean, I tend to be very, optimistic about that sort of thing. So people often accuse me of being extremely, like, not nonchalant about I don't care or something, you know. And I guess there's not a lot of things that I'm just like that for the most part, you know. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, because you're okay with everything and you're a very happy person and you feel content and you're not going along life feeling regretful and negative. You're very positive. So I think that's more of a normal outlook. I think mine is not normal where I'm even thinking about it. And yours is kind of not normal either. I mean, I haven't asked many people that question. Do you have a feeling of how long you're going to live? Do you know how you're going to go?
That's an unusual question.
I haven't even asked people that. Do we have another caller? We could ask them.
Not right now, but I'll let you know when we do.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting thing. It's an interesting question if people think about that. I don't think many would think, oh, I'm going to drown or I'm going to have an accident. Most people want to go peacefully, going in your sleep. That's a pretty good, nice way to go. It's just surrounding us always. I kind of hardly even want to watch the news anymore because you hear about it. I don't want to become calloused to death. I want to be prepared, but I don't want to be calloused. Where I don't feel anymore.
What does that word mean?
Callous means if you hear about bad things happening all the time on the news and you just, it becomes like, okay, that's not a big deal anymore because you hear it so much. That I don't want. It has not happened to me. I still cry all the time when tears come to my eyes when I watch the news. So some people just don't even watch it anymore because it's just too much. But it's going on all the time. Death happens. I don't know how many times a day in the world, but it's a lot. And this is a good show because it's opening people's eyes up to be prepared. You know, reach out to that person who did something in your life that you thought changed your life or touched you and they're special to you. Take this time, take this week, and write them a note. Give them a call. Tell them how you feel. Because when they're gone, you don't want to have regret that you didn't reach out to them.
I know. I mean, it's like, for example, how often do you ever think about when you're going to lose a parent or a relative when you talk to them? What's it going to be like without them there?
Yes, I always do. And recently I have a lot. And it's just, you can hardly talk. You get choked up. But then you just have to tell yourself. You have to find your strength. And then you have to be strong and say, I'm going to make the most of my time left with this loved one. I'm going to make it special. I'm going to make it good. And you know what? You were right earlier when you said, and be nicer to people because, you know, people who are close to us, we can get snappy with them. We can get impatient because they're always around us. But try to think about what it's going to be like without them. Would you snap at them when you're thinking about that, when that's your mindset? No, you would not. So you're right about that. Do go along in your day like you might not have them in your life and with that mindset. And also, I have an idea. Why don't we write down 5 to 10 names of people in our life that, who knows, maybe in our 20s or in even high school or 20s or 30s, we have those special people that we worked with a lot or were in our life at that time that we just can drop a note to this week. Let's write down 5 names, Johnny, and let's do that. And I urge the listeners to do that too. And that's a way of coping. That'll be a good way of coping because when it does happen, then you'll be able to say, well, I just talked to them. Like Alexis Bogle. There was a few years where I didn't talk to her, and we did a tribute show to her, the makeup artist for Playboy, and she was an amazing woman. And I had talked to her a couple days right before she died, and she died in her sleep. Very calmly, but nobody knew she was going to die, and most people were very shocked. I still have our messages from just a couple days before, and you know what, she was reaching out to me because she was concerned about somebody else. I didn't even mention this on the show, which I always wish that I had forgotten about it, but she had reached out to me and asked me to check on another Playboy playmate that she was concerned about because they were acting very depressed on social media with multiple everyday really down and out messages about depression. And luckily, I had already been reaching out to that person, so I was able to tell her, look, I've been monitoring that too. I've noticed it too. And I'm always writing her some uplifting things and ideas of what she could do for business. And you know, I'm reaching out to her as much as I can. So that was so sweet. Here she was about to die, didn't even know she was dying, and she was caring about somebody else, really caring about somebody else, thinking they were going to
commit
suicide.
What did she die of?
She had some kind of a complication. She had been going through chemotherapy for cancer, and I believe she had beaten that, but then some kind of complication with all of the treatments, and she had some kind of a stomach virus, or remember Sandra Taylor did tell us exactly what happened, and something like that was a complication that I think, lowered her blood pressure to where she just died in her sleep. So, and she wasn't very old. She was relatively young. So that was really super sad. And I am saying to myself, thank goodness that we had talked. We actually were setting up a photo shoot that she was going to do my makeup on. So we had been talking a lot. But what if I hadn't talked to her for like 5 years? I would have felt like, oh, why? Why didn't I talk to Alexis? But I, thank God, I didn't have that regret with her. So do you want to do that with me? You want to write down 5 people that you haven't talked to for, say, 2, 3, 10 years even? Write those names down and reach out to each one of those people this week. Do you want to do that with me?
I'll have to think about who to write down, but I'm sure
well,
I can.
Well, fine. Can you think of one?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, start with one. And let's do
all
one
right.
a day for a week.
Okay.
That sounds
do
good.
You,
well, our prayers are going out to Kobe Bryant's family, and we wish him to rest in peace, and we will always remember a legend never dies, you know, and he was definitely a legend and an icon. And after he retired, he's only been retired for, I think, 4 years, and he's been doing amazing things. He was doing amazing things with kids and sports, and he had actually won an Oscar for, I think it was a documentary. So he was really doing some amazing things, and that's what we want to remember, and we will always miss him. I mean, I'm pretty much an L.A. girl, you know, lived here for many years, like almost 30. So I loved the Lakers, and I would always go and watch the Lakers. I never got to meet him, but I met others like Magic Johnson. That was really cool. And just remember, and we will never forget. And our prayers and condolences go out to Vanessa, his wife, and all of their other children and family, close family members. Right, Johnny?
Yes. My prayers and thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, but you never met Kobe, right?
No, I never did.
Did you ever meet Michael Jordan?
No. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was actually a friend, because Brenda Venus is very, very close with him. And we drove with him, the three of us, many times to the Playboy Mansion for dinners. And he just loved Brenda because he became a best-selling author, and she's an author. And she... they shared that same love, and she helped him a lot to become that, actually. She used to date him, and they're still very close. And so he was amazing. I mean, he's a big icon and a legend. And, wow, I have pictures with him.
What I remember about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the movie Airplane.
Oh, yeah.
He says that whenever he goes on an airplane, people ask him, they ask him if they want to fly a plane.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah,
we're about out of time, but did you want to do the shout out?
Sure, I will.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, thank you so much for listening. And we have now a new Life, Laughter, Happiness group page on Facebook that is going strong. So we thank you for joining, and if you haven't already, please log in and join there, so you will be able to know every day what we're doing on our show, and we're going to post interesting things and ideas there for you to go over daily, like some of the things we talked about tonight. And also check out our Twitter, Life, Laughter, Happiness Twitter, and Instagram, and follow us on YouTube, and don't forget to subscribe when you're there. We would love to hear from you all across the board on all of our social media. So thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, everyone. Good night, everyone. Good night, Barbara.
Have a great night. Thanks, Johnny.